and more, consumers are turning to experts and online personalities to create information about life, news, culture, entertainment, and products. This new service, Influencer Marketing, is our focus for this episode. Greg is joined by Becky Novak, our new Director of Influencer Marketing, and Molly Johnson, who not only works on our social media team, but is also the co-founder of Philly Foodies, an Instagram influencer.
And one of our newest departments, our influencer department, with a lead who I haven't actually met in person yet. So this is really the first interaction that I've had with Becky since she started at Harmlin as the new point person on our influencer campaign. So I guess let's start things off. We've added a business consulting group to our media offering. We've added SEO to our media offering. We're expanding into all these non-media spaces. As a professional of influence, what are you bringing to our industry media strategy mix here? And what do you see for the space of influence as it relates to Harmlin?
Well, I like the practice of influence. It sounds very, very intellectual. But so influencer marketing, I would say as a whole, it's the intersection of, you know, public relations and, you know, strategic media tactics. And so it aligns, you know, very naturally to the other practices that you're talking about, things like SEO, things like business intelligence. It's all just how to make more dynamic, creative, and smarter media strategies. And influence is a key part of that. And, you know, especially in the past year over with the pandemic, influencer marketing has just been proven more valuable. People have been stuck at home and, you know, cooped up and missing this human connection. And influencers have filled that role in a lot of cases. So I would say, you know, I've been doing influencer for a long time. And at one point it was a nice like PR tactic. And it was, you know, cool to see an influencer talking about your product. And it's more than that now. It's people have real human connections to their influencers. And so us as a media agency thinking how to naturally and authentically weave brands into that line of communication channel, what I think is the natural next step for Harmlin. So I'm excited to be here and I am very excited to meet you in the office one day, someday soon.
I like how you frame that because one of my thinkings as I've made my way through paid media as a career is that at the end of the day, like we're all in the field of influence, like from a media standpoint, going back to olden times when the internet was but a young thing, we just bought airtime and shouted at people till they were influenced enough to engage with us. And now we have all these varied tactics. So, I mean, I see some nice kind of grassroots extensions from that starting a conversation mentality to now curating and managing and maybe owning the conversation. Is that a safe way to bridge from the world of mass media to this now, again, more nuanced personal communication?
Yeah, totally. I think what you're saying is exactly right. Like we're used to as marketers like speaking to people or at people and hoping that we say it enough times that they consume that message. And influencers are really great at shaping it more as a conversation. As influencer marketers, we're training influencers in how to talk about our brand, but then giving them the creative freedom to actually take our messages and speak to and converse with their audiences in a way that just feels really natural. So, I mean, the best campaigns are, you know, a 2-for-1 and we're doing that, but there's also, you know, still that like traditional messaging that they're getting from the brand. You know, it's just a different way to talk to audiences and just a different way to help create relationships. And, you know, one of the things that I'm also really excited about coming to Harmlin is sometimes in media, we treat influencers as a transactional opportunity. So, you know, just throwing the bucks at them, throwing them the information and having them create content. And you want to create relationships and you want people to feel really good about the brands that they're promoting. And that's like, that's where I get really excited about influencer and where we're taking it here at Harmlin.
And so kind of building on that, like just leaning into my own counterpoint here as the elder millennial at Harmlin. I like to think in my day, as I actually drove into the office every morning, both ways, mind you, we were lucky if we got our ads to clear. And then the next morning, influence was them talking about it at the water cooler. And so like to own influence, you had to watch TV, read magazines, like live in the space. So we also are lucky enough to have a second guest this week. Molly Johnson is joining us, our own very in-house influencer who lives and breathes the space. So whereas in the day, we would need to know what's the best and brightest running on the networks. Molly, how does your experience as an influencer kind of add to what Becky's bringing in this practice of influencer marketing?
Yeah, thank you for that intro. So I run Philly Foodies, which is a food Instagram. I have over 100,000 followers. So coming into the influencer marketing team at Heartmelon, it's just been super interesting to kind of see how it works from both ends. Coming from the influencer side, I'm used to working with agencies or brands in putting together content for these campaigns. But then on the opposite end, from the influencer marketing side, from Heartmelon, I am the agency and I am the brand communicating with these influencers. So it's been really cool to see it from both sides and see all of the different workflow steps that go into it and just all of the behind the scene processes that I don't think people really realize go into an influencer marketing campaign.
And so I'm wondering for either you, Becky, or Molly, as you're talking about this idea of these one-off ad placements versus this long-term relationship strategy. Molly, you have a legitimate actual curated relationship with your followers, and, mm-hmm. and the content is kind of what drives that engagement. And Becky, from our standpoint, we hope our clients have that content. We're working with them to develop it, to kind of stimulate it. But where's the intersection? How do you know if it's just that one-off transactional experience or, again, that authentic relationship building we're all after?
So I'll jump in first, and Molly definitely would love to hear your take on it too. But from an overarching standpoint, I think we enter relationships and it's sort of like we're figuring out if this is the partner we want and we're going to, meet them one time and see how it works. So it's normally, you're meeting, you're seeing if there's a vibe there, you're seeing if together you're actually creating the content. So if together the brand and the influencer, you can come up with something that feels really good and authentic to both of you. And then from our perspective as influencer marketings, we're tracking how content's performing and how the relationship's developing and if there are authentic legs to keeping it running. And, at the end of a campaign, we'll look and see, was this a success? Did it feel really good to everyone? And is it something that we do continue as long-term? I will say there, sometimes a one-off does make sense. And that's traditionally around like product launches or things like that. But I would never say it's a one and done forever. It's a one and maybe we'll come back to you the next campaign or the next spike. I think one thing that is interesting in influencer marketing, especially if you are from, a media side or a marketing professional, is what you have to keep in mind is influencers aren't this, so a lot of times isn't their day job. Like Molly, she's wearing many hats. And so a lot of these folks, they have kids, they have jobs. And so when you're creating that relationship, you're also working with somebody who has a million things going on. And so there's some fluidity and it's not as much of a, hey, here's your brief, make this content. So I digress to Molly, would also love for you to jump in and give your expert opinion.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, like you mentioned, I think there are a lot of instances where a one-off post with an influencer makes sense. And you do see that a lot of times following influencers or even for myself, I've done a lot of one-off posts. But I think the long-term relationships are super important because the more you're working with these influencers, the more you're either giving them product or educating them more on your brand, they start to really become the brand advocates and it shows to their followers. So where they may just post a one-off post for a campaign, their followers will see it one time, maybe get some brand awareness there. But I think once it becomes a longer term relationship where they're continuing to talk about the brand or the product or whatever it is, their followers, I think, will really start to pick up on that and become educated as well.
And so it's interesting to hear you both kind of talk about advocacy and the people on the side of it. Like that's one of our foundational ideals here is that we're a people company, whether it's people who work here, the people that we're engaging with. At the end of the day, like we facilitate communications between individuals, right? And when you're working with traditional media companies, sometimes it's easier to see them as the faceless corporate monolith that some of them have become. Is that still a thing here? Or are we talking really about working with individuals to kind of cultivate these relationships over the long term, knowing that this may be a long-term engagement or it might be kind of intermittent? But at the end of the day, that relationship is what's going to drive this forward.
Yeah, I mean, for us, that's the heart of it. And that's the relationship is the key. And I think that's the value that we prove, especially for brands, because it's really time intensive. And I know brands in some cases, they start off doing it on their own and it just snowballs and it becomes more people and more time. And like I'm saying, it's outside of traditional work hours and all that stuff. So for us, our value is that we can help propel those relationships and keep them on track. Our team is also wearing many hats. You know, as you said, you know, we are an agency, so we have experts who are SEO minded, content minded. And so we also help influencers almost up their game to a little bit. So there's a little bit of a learning on both sides, which is pretty cool. And then, you know, just to layer on sort of the business side of things, I think one thing we haven't touched on, influencer content is great and it works really hard. And a lot of what we're talking about here are social influencers, but with platforms and algorithms and all that, you're still only reaching like so many people. So one thing that we're seeing a lot of success with at Harmelin is the amplification allows us to get a little bit more into granular details and what's working and what's not, and inform both influencer and brand marketing going forward. So that's another, like, me coming from the outside and coming into Harmelin, that's a piece that I'm like super excited about.
And so to that, I think it sets up a question to you, Molly, working more in the social space, like how do you see the amplification playing both from your perspective, again, as an influencer and seeing ideally maybe how it worked from your own perspective, but also working as an agency planner and thinking strategically about how to build that around another initiative. What's it like being at that juncture?
It's been really interesting to see the amplification piece play out. We do have all of these influencers generating such great content, but in reality, that's reaching their followers and maybe a few more people who are seeing it on their social platforms. So with amplification, it really allows us to tap into our social platforms and use that targeting, the granular interest-based targeting, geo-targeting, to ensure that we're giving this content a longer life and to reach more targeted people. So whether we have more upper funnel goals like reach or brand awareness, or lower funnel goals of conversion, we can use social amplification to really use this content in a way that works with the rest of our media plan.
And so I think it's interesting, when you say amplification, my brain naturally goes to scaling data. There's a lot of information behind all of this, right? It's not just set it and forget it. You know, when we were talking earlier, Becky, you mentioned that this really is a full-time job. This isn't something you can do on the side, even though admittedly, a lot of the influence is in many ways a side job. So again, working in that agency standpoint, you talk the interaction with SEO, we have our business unit, we have the media teams. I'm curious, what are the signals that you're monitoring? How do you evaluate kind of the direction the strategy is going in? Again, what does that full-time aspect look like to you when you're managing a campaign?
Where we're excited is that we have data that we can access that helps us inform the actual influencer selection. And that sort of is like our guiding light to be strategic in the folks that we actually pick. There's like a lot of people, and like influence is really, it's all over the place and anybody can be an influencer. And like you see with the rise of things like TikTok, like everyday people and teens, like everybody is an influencer at this point. So us, you know, centralizing the data in a platform where we can look and, you know, strategically pick who themselves are the right influencers and like who are right from a demographic and psychographic perspective, but also their followers and, you know, making sure that a lot of times we have an ask in like a certain geographic region that we're aligning with people and their followers who fit. That sets us up with like strategic success. And then throughout the life cycle of the campaign, you know, we have checks and balances in place that are making sure that the process is flowing as it should, and that we're pivoting where we should. And I think we're learning, we're growing, we're testing, we're learning the whole time. It is a fluid process. It grows and changes as we're going along.
And so that's one of the things that I'm interested to kind of watch unfurl. We, a couple of years back, came to the brilliant observation that when you run an ad, people search for you. Like the universal KPI for a campaign is search to a degree. And you know, it's that creating of word of mouth, creating the buzz that makes people want to look for more information. And so I imagine it's only a matter of time before we launch an influencer campaign and then we use our quick lift to look at those timestamp posts and just watch traffic surge to this site. And again, you know, the longer that surge lasts, the more intervals that we can generate, like we start to get a better readout on what those behaviors are. I say all that because that's easy enough for us to track. We see the timestamps. We have the planning software. We own a lot of that data. As we are recording this, we are in the waning days of iOS's latest update. And come Monday, a lot of that will change and tracking will change and the ability to amplify might change. So I'm curious, Becky and Molly, as we're looking at this new world starting on Monday, assuming the worst, we have this ability to generate a conversation around content, around context, and that's something that won't go away. So How does influencer continue to evolve as the tracking and the targeting capabilities change in other parts of media?
Yeah, I think that's a good point that, you know, we're excited about all the strides that we've made and things like amplification and tracking, all of that. And it's going to be fluid. But the thing that is going to still be true no matter what is authenticity and the relationship that influencers are going to have with their followings. And, you know, in a lot of cases, they may not be impacted as hard as, you know, a brand page or things like that. And Molly, correct me if you, I know you are the expert of this, but my hypothesis is that, you know, influencers in a lot of, on most platforms, they're coveted creators. A lot of the platforms have, you know, plus up experiences and trainings and things. So I think that they're going to be priority on making sure that their content is still getting out there and reaching audiences. And so they actually might be a good solution to some of the things that we're going to find as the iOS update rolls out. They might be a solution to cut through some of the other issues and challenges. So stay tuned. And Molly, feel free to jump in too.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think influencer may not be as impacted as we'll see with other platforms, because it really is about that person and their relationship with their followers. So even if we aren't able to track as many like lower funnel items, it's still that brand awareness and that reach that they're having with their followers, the trust that their followers have in them, and their opinions. I think that will still remain really important in this space.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as they drive direct back to the brand site or things like that, that how that it's actually becoming even more important.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned a minute ago your background working on the PR side of it. When I think of public relations, naturally, maybe stereotypically, I think of relationship building. It's all about who you know and the connections you have and who you can get access to, because that's how you, again, facilitate those conversations. And I'm probably oversimplifying it.
That's it.
We've always prided ourselves from a media standpoint of being local activators, that we don't buy through a regional buying house. We don't buy through the networks unless we're buying nationally. We go to the local stations because we have relationships with those affiliates, that our buyers know the individual sales reps, and those relationships in some case go back decades. So again, in this world where data is being prized, you know, that's data we have that maybe others don't have. And it's something that I think from the PR world is a huge benefit to build into this agency culture. So I'm curious, again, if that's something you're looking at as you adapt to this role within a media agency.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of all goes back to, I feel like I'm saying it again and again and again, but it goes back to relationships. And that is like fundamentally a PR, a tactic. But like you're saying, I mean, it's rooted in Harmelin and everything that you do. And that was one of the things that was really exciting when I was having the opportunity to come, is that we speak the same language. And so that is absolutely the heart of influencer marketing. And that's, you know, we continue to grow and cultivate the relationships both on a local level with local influencers, because I think there's a lot of value for a lot of our existing clients, you know, the local influencer landscape, but also at a national level. And that's some of the relationships and the just relationships that I've cultivated. That's part of what I bring to the agency. So we're excited as we're growing and building campaigns and building them out of tapping into those relationships and, you know, letting them know that Harmelin is here and we do influencer and we do influencer really well. And so, you know, come and get it and come join us for the opportunities that are coming up.
And so as looking at those opportunities, I mean, if nothing else, 2021 looks like a rebirth of socialization again, as we're coming out to a different stage of the pandemic. Hopefully we're coming on the other side of it. People are starting to go outside again, if nothing else, just because the weather is nicer, right? But we see that there are opportunities to engage with our social circles. It's been a re-envisioned year, I guess, for influence in general. How do you see what comes next evolving in the space? What are the trends that we should be watching for in the influence space?
I think what's interesting has been that, like, influencers, you know, they filled that sort of that friend gap for a while. And so there's been just a closer relationship from consumers and, you know, everyone on social to their influencers. And I don't see that going away. I think, yes, people are still going to be outside, but I don't know about you. Even when I'm outside, I'm like on my cell phone the entire time on Instagram. So like too much. But so I see those relationships still existing. I see that, you know, my hope is that, like, we can get back to the real world a little bit, where we're activating influencers in real life, you know, bringing them offline to real events, to store events and things that we used to do, but now we'll almost have more interest and intrigue because they've grown their followings and people are excited to like want to meet these people in real life. So I'm excited about the potential of that. And then I think that, you know, we're going to continue to see the rise of, it's funny, I was actually speaking to a potential client the other day and they said influencer, you know, those like glossy, like vanity filled, like people that are on Instagram with like their perfect photos and their dog in the purse. And I was like, I totally hear that. Like that's when you just think of influencers, you're like, they're kind of annoying. But that is really, that's top line influencers. And like they exist, but there's this other world and it's been expanding through the pandemic of like what we're calling like everyday influencers. And, you know, everyone has the ability to just pick up their phone, create really cool content, especially with things like Reels and TikTok, where you can create engaging content and like get it out there and start building a following. Like, I'm not going to say easy because I totally respect that like these people put in hours and hours of work, but like you don't have to be perfect and you don't need a professional photographer like following you around 24/7. And that's really exciting. And that's like the type of content that I think is going to continue to resonate with people. And so we're going to move away from that like super glossy influencer that annoys us all to like everyday people who we were like excited to want to be friends with. So those are the things that I'm tracking. And then third, sorry, as I'm just thinking it, but I think audio is going to continue to be interesting. And Clubhouse is a space that we're watching and thinking of how we integrate it into our own influencer marketing. But I think that is going to continue, especially as people are like driving down the shore and, you know, just popping on something audio because they're out and about again. I think that's going to be a space to keep watching for influence. And Molly, sorry, I'm like going on and on, but I want to hear what you have to say too.
Yeah, no, I was going to say just definitely the emergence of new platforms. Like in the past year, we've seen TikTok really just surge. Whereas 2 years ago, we wouldn't even think about that or think to activate influencers there. And then, yeah, I was also going to mention Clubhouse. Although it is new, we are learning ways that brands are activating influencers there as well. So there definitely is an opportunity for these new platforms. And I think new ones may still come out. It's always emerging.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where this all goes. And I'm glad that you're monitoring these spaces because I know the worst thing you can do is just dive right in and be there because that's where the party is. Like as an advertiser, you weren't invited. So, you know, have a purpose, build those relationships. And the thing I'm looking most forward to, I think you said it well, is the idea that this extends beyond the virtual, that, you know, as systems go back to whatever the new normal is going to be, there's that chance to interact and influence in real life events, to perhaps come across Molly as you're dining in the city. Lots of ways that everyday access suddenly becomes part of the conversation. And accessibility, I think, is what you were going after, really drives all of this. So I look forward to seeing how you help our clients become more accessible and drive this practice on. And you know, it's an exciting thing to be part of. I'm glad to have you aboard.
Yeah, we're really excited. Thank you for the intro and the chat. And I would just say, if you're planning your spring outdoor dining, follow Philly Foodies.
Thank you. And just even to go off of that, like real world influencer activations today during lunch, there is a burrito restaurant handing out burritos in Rittenhouse Square with donkeys. So I will be there. It's a real life activation. So yeah, it's really going past just the virtual content only piece and getting to do things in real life. So that will be really exciting going into 2021 to see how we can work with our clients and do these sort of things as well.
Yeah, so no further proof needed. If there was ever a point to say that influencer marketing works, it's ending a podcast so we can all get burritos. So, and yeah, again, this is an exciting space to be part of, and it's great to have it as part of the Harmelin arsenal. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thank you to our guests, Becky and Molly. Be sure to follow at Philly Foodies on Instagram. Media Impressions is hosted by Greg Ebeck and produced by Gwen Lufkin, Emily Wolf, Chelsea Fletcher, and me, Jared Rudenstein. Harmelin Media thanks you for listening to Episode 7 of Media Impressions.